I'm Joshua Kagi, and this is a special Memorial Day podcast episode from the American Baptist Home Mission Societies, where I sit down with Colonel Sean Lee, the Joint Force Headquarters Chaplain of the Maryland National Guard, on his call to chaplaincy, his military service, and reflections on Memorial Day.
For me, Memorial Day, when I go to that ceremony, it's always 10 o'clock. There's a little, part of me, kind of like, I could stay home. But then the other part of me says, no, I'm glad I get to go. And I put on the dress uniform and I go. And by the end of the time, 2 hours later, it's always holding back a tear because there's some family member there crying. And that's what I'm about. And when they take my arm, they don't see me, but what I represent. And the cross is on the lapel and the chance to be with them and the community of people gathered saying, hey, you'll never get your loved one back. And most folks today just enjoying a long weekend. But we know you also sacrificed in a great way, and thank you. That, for me, is Memorial Day, that chance to be with them and just kind of thank them. Initially, I had never thought of military chaplaincy. As a matter of fact, my conversion experience happened when I was about 18 years old. At the time, I was looking at trying to get into one of the service academies, but was the same height I am now, but weighed like 128 pounds and just didn't make the standard. And went to church with my grandmother, and the pastor there happened to have graduated from a college in Tennessee. I wasn't American Baptist at the time, but I applied to that college and ended up getting a partial scholarship that I hadn't asked for, so I ended up going there. While I was there is when I came to know Christ as my Savior, and at that point I was just, not shortly after that, I felt a call to vocational ministry in the sense I think all Christians are in vocation. But the clergy piece of, didn't know where or how that would be, but kind of identified it with what I knew of, which, must be a local church or maybe a missionary or something. I didn't know. But at the time, I had a couple of friends who were in, one of them was in ROTC, and the funny part was, he said, man, sign up. He said, even if you don't go in the military, we get $100 a month for being in ROTC. Well, that was back in 1977, $100 a month. Okay, that's why I signed up. Ended up graduating from Carson Newman College in Tennessee, and felt like, if I'm, looks like I'm going to be commissioned, I'd like to be a chaplain. And I asked the instructors, how do you do that? They said, we don't know. Pick a branch, and when you get in the Army, you'll figure it out. And so I did. I became an ordnance officer, and I picked that because they would send you to ordnance officer basic at Aberdeen Proving Ground. That was close to home. I thought, it wasn't until a few years later, I discovered the educational deferment opportunity. Went to, at that point, into what they call a staff specialist branch, which allowed me to go to seminary, finish my seminary education, and then become an actual chaplain. But when the Pentagon attacks came, I was in the National Guard, the one weekend, one thing. They asked me if I would come on full-time as a federal employee here, and I've been here since February of 2002. As a federal employee, as a full-time chaplain. So the chaplaincy has become more and more, even though it was never intentionally at the beginning something I was thinking about, God's kind of guided me into doing this full-time. Yeah. I'm very comfortable in relating as a military chaplain to military members. A lot of them would never go to a local church. But because chaplains are embedded with the units, I'll speak as an Army chaplain. We deploy with them. We're there with them. We become the first line of response. It's always, if they have a problem, go talk to the chaplain. And they do. Because we're there with them, we earn their trust. And the opportunity for some meaningful conversations that end up becoming, then begin to hear that third voice in the conversation of Christ among us. American Baptist Home Mission Society is used to talk about encouraging new life in Christ. There's real opportunities to do that. And I love that. The other side is the ecumenical piece. I'm the senior chaplain here. I have chaplains from about 8 different denominational affiliations. But over the years, I've gotten to know military chaplains all have to be endorsed by a recognized religious group. But I've gotten to know and have meaningful friendships with folks that I probably would not have had the opportunity to get to know as other clergy at that level had we not been in the military together. And to be part of the American Baptist voice, because we're such a small part of the big picture, but yet we're part. And to have that voice, it was like, what's different? American Baptists, you know, I always wonder. And I tease them, I tell them, we're the ones the other Baptists are worried are not really safe. I said, but I talked to them about the inclusiveness of that Baptist tradition of, you know, soul autonomy, the believer as the Spirit guides and we understand Scripture. We unite around what we share in common, which is, you know, Christ crucified, raised, and ascended, and His presence among us through faith, and we share that as the common ground that's essential. And other things, yeah, I mean, we could agree to be disagreeable or disagree, but it's okay. We're still family, you know, in Christ. That sense of affirming the call of, you know, the old Quaker thing, it's a joy to be simple, joy to be free, joy to come down to... That sense of blooming in the pot where God's planted me has affirmed that call in the relationships with people that are life-giving. But also I've received great life from relationships that have broadened me among the clergy of other, both interdenominational and also interfaith. We would literally, not to sound melodramatic, we die for one another. That's part of what we do when we wear the uniform. That's kind of some sacred ground that I've come to really love and appreciate.
Yes.
And the opportunity to be endorsed by the American Baptist and to represent as an extension of our denominational family who we are in the larger community of the military and around the world, it's just been a wonderful. I never saw that way back in college. This Memorial Day Monday, every year, nearby here, there's a large cemetery called Delaney Valley Gardens. Every year, the guy who preceded me, I've been in this job since June of 2002, the chaplain before me, he did it. They have a ceremony, and what they do is they invite from the state of Maryland the families of any military who died in conflict in the previous year. And they have what they call the Circle of the Immortals, and several hundred, if not 1,000 people or so will attend this, you know, and there's bagpipers and governor will send somebody, but what I get to do, which is really neat, meaningful, is we do the prayers, the invocation, benediction, but we escort the family up to the flagpole where they receive the plaque and we remember their deceased loved one. Well, in the guard, we have a memorial out at Camp Frederick, our main base, and there are 12 names on there, and I know every one of those 12 guardsmen. And they've all died in this war that won't end. And the fact that 12 of those families, I've known who they're. And a couple of those guys were good friends. The role of faith and spirituality is still vital to most military members. Even to those who don't have a defined religion, trying to understand what makes life worth meaning and frame what they do within that larger context for coping and comfort and meaning. You know. Even those who harden up to it, it's hard to take human life. And then to live with that for the rest of your life. But what do I wish you as citizens realized is that we don't ever have a meeting and say, hey, let's go to war. We are sent by those folks who are elected officials who no longer have many of the military service. And so this is my strategic big picture observation. Mm-hmm. I wish and long for a day when the military is the last tool of diplomacy rather than the first tool of diplomacy. I wish the State Department legitimately understood the role of religion in crafting foreign policy, because in the U.S. we may have a free society, but in many places in the world, when we do not respect thoughtfully the role of religion in areas of the world where it's woven into the fabric of how they live and do business, they interpret that as our disregard for what for many of them is most vital. And it puts our soldiers at risk who are there because we were sent by the elected government. You know, we have what are called stages of war, and phase four is stability operations. That's where, okay, we won the battle, now we go. Well, I was looking at Iraq at the time, and the roadside bombings, there was a general over there named Dempsey who eventually became chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He got his chaplain to go out and bring the local indigenous religious leaders to a table to talk with him, their concerns, his own. Come to find out, the the preaching in the mosques changed and the incidents of roadside bombings went down, and in our military speak, that became a force protection issue then. It saved lives. I'm like, this is good. Mm-hmm. So why don't we change military doctrine to use chaplains as an to change the doctrine that in addition to our regular duties, that we become a religious liaison for the commander with indigenous religious groups and leaders, do a religious area assessment and try and bring these folks to the table. And so, on the whole, I got a lot of pushback and beat up around that, but now it's changed military doctrine. And chaplains are one of the additional roles as religious liaison. That's kind of where this came from, for me. And so that's one of the things I'm proud of in a healthy way as I am in my career. That's one impact for good that I've had. And Partners in Care programs, another one, which is a belief that the local faith communities, with our guard populations have scattered. The government program wasn't the original social service agency, as noble as they may be, but the local congregation of folks who worship and care about their neighbors, who don't depend on government funding either to always be there. So part of the questions now that we have our folks ask when somebody has problems, and do you have a local faith community? If they do, we ask them, in addition to the resources we'll offer, Military One Source, VA, Vet Center, talk to your local clergy and see, because there's probably veterans in your congregation. They may be a point of residence and help. But if they don't, we explain Partners in Care and ask them, would you like us to connect you with the closest one to you? And we've got a gal coming in this afternoon, a soldier, we're to be doing that. She said, yeah. And the congregation signed the agreement that they'll provide support free of charge, regardless of religious affiliation. No obligation on the guard member's part. And when we send somebody, it says in the MOU that that's not our endorsement of that religious group. It's a recognition of a faith-based community resource. Because I think we see suicides in the military sometimes, especially when the younger folks, they feel disconnected and lack of connection or of support from a group. A lot of them are very much non-religious at all, but many times they'll, talking to the chaplain, they'll let us connect them, and usually it's a veteran who's the point of contact. When we send them, we're not saying they ought to all be from your religious tradition. Most of the time, the support's goods and services. Rarely is it ever financial, because the congregations have limited means. Last year, they were able to help three of our soldiers who were homeless and were couch surfing, have the down payment on a security deposit for an apartment. So we got them into, but that's in the leading cause for referral. Last year, we had 138 people that we referred. All but 16 were in the junior enlisted ranks. Presenting issue was a need for groceries, and about half had never deployed. And so we looked at that demographic, and what happened is that for these folks, some of the most stable structure and steady income they have is their National Guard connection. And so they were underemployed or challenged, and so he's given out grocery gift cards today. We have a number of congregations who get us $50 gift card increment. I'm a firm believer in what God does through the local congregation, and try and connect our guardsmen back to a faith community so they have that source of support. Because we don't deploy from active duty comes back, they come back to a base or a post, and everything they need is within that fine geographic area. Oh, Army Community Services, three blocks down and over there. Mental health over here. We have people that may be a couple hours from the closest VA, everything, but there's a congregation. It's been a wonderful experience, and I thank God for the call. And the American Baptist family, when Sarah and I had to leave the denomination that we had roots in to find a denomination we could have a home in, to be part of the American Baptist family is a wonderful thing.
I'd like to thank Chaplain Sean Lee for his time today and his service to our country and our God. If you'd like to know more about the Maryland National Guard Partners in Care Program and how you or your ministry can get involved, Chaplain Lee's office can be reached by calling 410-576-6124. If you're interested in learning more about the American Baptist Home Mission Society's chaplaincy and pastoral counseling ministries, visit us at abhms.org, navigate to Ministries, and then the Chaplaincy and Pastoral Counseling Ministries link. Thank you to you for spending these last 15 minutes reflecting on Memorial Day with us. Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of those we know who have fallen defending our freedoms and our country. We know, dear God, that ultimate peace will not come until your kingdom is here in all of its fullness. Nevertheless, we pray for a piece of that future. We ask for the growth of peace throughout our world today, so that fewer and fewer men and women will have to risk and even to sacrifice their lives. We long for the day when people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore.